sefer we had yesterday called Akdamas Nilin. In this sefer, he goes through yisoidos that you should be aware of when you begin different sections of Talmud Torah. He has Hakdama, I think, for every mesachta. He tells yisoid, a yisoid for every something that you should be aware of, which will carry you through every mesachta. A yisoid before you learn Chumash. A yisoid before you learn Tanakh. A yisoid before you learn the Rambam. A yisoid before you learn Shulchan Aruch. A yisoid before you learn different very popular svarim that the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Ramban svarim of Dina de Garmi. It goes to the Sefer from the Shach wrote on the Taryag Mitzvahs. The Chulu. Let me just share with you some interesting things that I came across. This is a truly fascinating Sefer. He writes over here that there's a Hagdama to the study of Tanakh. How many, this is something which is very relevant. I'm saying this because when I read this, it struck me like a bolt of lightning because of a conversation that I had with two people who on their own, I didn't ask them anything. They just on their own told me something. Two people told me the same exact thing. You'll see what I mean in one moment. When you learn Tanakh, Chazal tell us that Tanakh has 24 books. Okay? Chof Dalid Sifrei Tanakh. 24 books have been canonized as legit, holy, sacred. And anything else that is affiliated with the Bible is not holy. The Apocrypha. Okay? They're the outside books. They're good books. Not every book is apocryphal. There are some of books of the Apocrypha which are outright blasphemy, but there are books which are good. They're really good stuff. There's nothing wrong with them at all. It's just that they were not accepted into the canon, into Tanakh, because Chazal did not feel that they were written with the desired degree of sanctity. The author may be a holy person, he may be a tzaddik, he may be one of the lamed of tzaddikim upon which this world exists, but to be part of Tanakh, there has to be an intense degree of divinity that was injected into the book and by its writer, and not every book made it to that level, reached the threshold of what Chazal demanded to be part of the canon. So those books are called the outside books, the Apocrypha. How many books made it into the canon? 24. And in fact, the 24 has been predicted from Maaseh Bereishis. There would always be 24 books in Tanakh. The question would be which ones are the 24 books? And the way to remember the 24 is the word Chanukah. What's Chanukah? Well, first we have Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the festival of Chanukah. Chanukah, how do you spell Chanukah? Ches Nun. The first two letters stand for Ches Nevi'im. Eight prophets. There are eight books of Nevi'im. Chanu. Then comes the Vav. Vav Chof. Six books of Kisuvim, and the last letter of Chanukah, Hey, are Chomesh Megillot, the Chomesh Megillos. So the word Chanukah is the way to remember the 24 books. Let's review. Ches, count the numbers for me. Ches, Nun is eight Nevi'im. Then comes Vav Kisuvim. So that takes us to 14. Then comes Hey, another five. What's the Hey at the end? The Chomesh Megillos, which takes us to 19, plus the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, 24. Okay, everyone on board with me? That's how you know the 24 books of Tanakh, the Chof Hei Sifrei Tanakh, Chamisha Chumshei Torah plus Chanukah. Where do the 24 books come from? So there is a very, very famous Chazal, and this is very relevant to today. A kala, a bride, traditionally wore 24 tachshitin, 24 ornaments, 24 different types of jewelry or garments. And these garments are spelled out in Sefer Yeshaya, in Perigimel, when Yeshaya was very angry with Klal Yisrael, and he writes about the 24 garments, and he says that because you are misbehaving and you are disloyal to Hashem, instead of Hashem adorning you with the 24 different garments, you will put upon your body or suffer 24 wounds or 24 replacements in exchange for the crown. You'll have ash on your head. In exchange for this, you'll have this. He goes on to list 24 forms of punishment that replace the 24 ornaments that are used by a bride at her wedding. Now, the truth is, the 24 ornaments listed in Sefer Yeshaya are not clear. The words are very, very cryptic. It's a series of psukim that are very difficult to read. And because they're so difficult, the commentators have different ways of breaking up the 24, as can be expected. And each commentator on the page of Mikros Gedolos will break down the 24 into a different section, into different words. And even after you break down put the grammar, you put the commas in the right place, what exactly is the translation of these 24 ornaments? And that's another very difficult task. So there are many difficulties. Number one, it's difficult to figure out how to break the pasuk into 24, the psukim into 24 portions. And then even if you do break down into 24 portions, it's even more difficult to properly translate those 24 expressions. What garment are we referring to? Chazal say, and Yeshaya there is using in the negative form, that instead of you having these 24 ornaments or garments, which are there to decorate the bride, you're going to suffer wounds and broken bones, and wear shmatas, and articles which are of insult in order to replace the 24 objects of beauty. So that's in Sefer Yeshaya. Chazal say, from here we learn, that a kala, a bride, is supposed to have 24 ornaments. And Chazal go on to say, and who is the bride? The bride is none other than Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people. And the bride needs 24 ornaments to teach you. It's not a coincidence that there are 24 Sifrei Tanakh. There are 24 books in Tanakh. A Talmud Chacham who is a bride must beautify himself by mastering and have thorough, fluent knowledge of the Chof Dalid Sifrei Tanakh. If a person does not have fluency and broad, deep knowledge in the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, it's like a kala. You go to a wedding in the Hilton, and the kala comes to the wedding in her pajamas, and didn't put on any makeup, and didn't brush her hair. She woke up, and she just, in her pajamas, came to the wedding. That's a disgrace. If you're getting married in the Hilton, in the plaza, and someone is spending $1 million on your wedding, you don't come to your wedding in your pajamas without putting on makeup and brushing your hair. A Talmud Chacham who presents himself as a Talmud Chacham must come properly dressed. And the dressing of a Talmud Chacham is to be fluent in as have his 24 ornaments. And what are the 24 ornaments? The Chof Dalid Sifrei Tanakh. Now he writes here something that is awesome. So the person who is Mechaber of the Sefer writes, when you learn Tanakh, you should appreciate when you spend a lot of time learning, like we do over here, we spend over here in Baruch Hashem every day, we learn Navi. We go a little bit too slow. We learn Navi. You should appreciate that when you're learning Navi, you are the Kala, and you're getting dressed in your 24 beautiful ornaments. Now, when the word Chazal used is a tachshit, the tachshit and tachshit e kala, I was always under the impression until yesterday that a tachshit, it's a luxury. You don't need a tachshit. So every woman has to have a 5-carat diamond ring. Many women, though, they get the chosn gives them engagement ring, and they never wear it their whole life. They wear it maybe at the engagement party or whatever it is, if they even have it by then, and then they lock it up in a safe. They never take it out. They're afraid to take it out, so they get lost. This, that. I mean, everyone is different. They're just not interested in showing. Well, some are not interested in showing off. They wear it on special occasions, and even when it comes to that special occasion, they decide, you know what? Who's interested? Who's watching? Who needs it? That's what I always thought, okay? Not every woman, there are some women that, you know, they love it. You know, they want to, you know, the jewelry and the clothing, it means the world to them. Okay, inachnani. But there are a lot of women that will tell, you know, I want to have nice clothing. I want to have nice jewelry. It doesn't have to be over the top. You know, it's a jewelry by nature is a luxury. I have to wear a necklace every single day of my life. I have to wear a diamond ring every day of my life. I have to wear designer clothing, wear a crown on my head every single day. And, you know, once in a while, these are luxuries. They're not necessities. The Maril comes along and he says something that is really, really powerful. And he says, yeah, it's true. You don't really need to wear these items every single day. You know, you don't need fancy clothing, but a kala does. A kala has to have these. It's not a joke. A bride really has to have these things. If a bride doesn't have these things, then she's missing the basic necessities. And it's a pretty extreme statement when you hear Rabbanim talk about, you know, takonis. Who needs all these things, right? Who needs these things? The Maril says, a tachshit for a kala is not a luxury. It is a necessity. For the average person, when you go to work on the train, you don't need to be wearing your wedding gown. You don't wear your wedding gown to work every day. But when you get married, you wear the wedding gown. If a kala comes to the wedding in a black dress, there's something really wrong. A kala comes to the wedding in a white gown. The white gown is a necessity. If a man is not wearing underwear, he's in a lot of trouble. Okay, there are certain necessities you have in life. A man needs to be wearing a pair of pants. Okay, if you're not wearing a pair of pants, even though today we live in a crazy world, do you know that in Harvard, you know what the guest speaker did in Harvard? I cannot believe this. I cannot believe what I heard. The guest speaker said, this is the first time in Harvard we're having a virtual graduation on Zoom. Virtual. I think it was Harvard. Maybe correct me if I'm wrong. One of the Ivy League colleges. It's the first time we're having an Ivy League. We're having a graduation on Zoom, a virtual graduation. And he was dressed up, you know, tie, suit, you know. And it's also the first time that the keynote speaker is going to speak to you in his underwear. And then he pulls back the camera and he shows the audience he's wearing his underwear. This is what the world has come to. Okay? This is the cuckoo world we live in today. Okay? He shows them on Zoom in front of a whole world. He's wearing underwear. He's speaking, graduation, Harvard Medical School, whatever it was. First time we're having a virtual graduation on Zoom. First time I can speak to you in my underwear. What? And then he showed, okay, cuckoo world. Okay, but in a normal world, if you do that, you're a shugana. It's a necessity to wear a pair of pants. It's a necessity. This is not a luxury. A kala comes to the wedding. If she's not wearing a white gown, it's like a man is not wearing a pair of pants. Okay, that's it's a necessity. The Maril says something shocking. The tachshite kala, the 24 ornaments, are not luxuries. These may be luxuries when it comes to go to your friend's wedding, to go put on all this jewelry. But when you are the kala, the tachshitin are absolute necessities. Now, if not for being in Corona season, I would be very skeptical at what I just said. Who says a kala, she has to wear such a fancy white gown and she has to wear these fancy earrings and a necklace and a this and a that and all these things? Who says? Make the wedding in the backyard, right? Backyard weddings now. So two people told me, something very disturbing. You told me if this is true. Then this last season, these last 2 months, there have been a very unusual number of broken engagements. And some people who have gotten married in the backyard, as we've all seen broadcast, their marriage is on the rocks. Some have already got divorced. And I didn't believe this. Why should that be true? And I was told two people just told this on their own. And they said they know firsthand this to be so. They know the couple. Oh, it was so nice. You know, they got married in the backyard. And it's just something happened. You know, they have this movement now that we should continue having weddings in the backyard. Who needs to put the caterers out of business? Who needs to go into debt to take out a second mortgage to make a wedding? Who needs this nonsense? Everyone should get married in the backyard. There's a movement. The people are trying to continue. And yet, it seems, okay, you have to go to a psychologist and analyze what's going on. It seems that there's a resentment. It seems there is something bothering Chosen Kala of you just get married in the backyard. It's not important. It's not important that, you know, to have friends, to have something choshuv. We laugh at it because to us it's a burden to go to these weddings. But for the people getting married, these kids who get married, it means a lot to them. And the proof is in the pudding, because there's something, at least what I'm being told, maybe I'm being fed false information, but I don't think it's true. The people who told this to me are reliable people that, you know, there's something to it. It's not for nothing people have nice weddings. It's not for nothing person of color has a nice gown. There's an industry in America, a multi-million-dollar industry of wedding gowns. There's an industry of tuxedos, an industry of the whole industry of the wedding industry. It's not for nothing. There's something there. And for these people, although to us, the observers, it may be, who cares, it's a burden. For them, it's a necessity. And the Maril says this. It's a shocking thing. The Maril says, you're making a big mistake. You think that a tachshit, the kala, she has 24. Then the Sefer Yeshayah, it says, there are chof dalet tachshit kala. The Maril says, a tachshit is not a moisar. It's not a luxury. It's a necessity for a kala. Put yourself in her frame of mind. For a kala, the chof dalet tachshitin are necessities. They're like walking in the street without underwear and a pair of pants. It's their moment. It's her moment. Her moment in the limelight. She's getting married. She lives for this. This is the establishment of her home, her bias. You have to talk, and unfortunately, what it appears to me that these last 2-3 months have proven that the Maril is correct. there's something about society that has created such a need, which we don't, which it's hard to put your finger on to understand, but people are now coming to understand there's something to it. And Musar now, with this idea, he says something that is totally awesome. When you learn Tanakh, learning the Chof Dalit Sifrei Tanakh, many B'nai Torah, oh, it's like having a fancy suit. I don't need to know Yeshaya inside out. Come on. I'd rather know the Ktzois and the Nesivos. I'll learn another Mesecht and Shas, another Rambam, another Abchayim, another Hezber in the Yesoidais of Dina de Garmi, a Groma Garmi. Tanakh, eh. The Tanakh is on the shelf up there. Let it collect dust up there. Yeshaya, Yecheskel, Chavakuk. Whoever heard of this guy, Chavakuk? Who is Chavakuk? He's on mute. He's on Zoom. Has mi ponai, has mi ponav kol aretz. Can everyone please mute yourself? Whoever heard of this guy, Chavakuk, who's interested in Sefania? No. Chazal were very, very precise. The Chof Dalit Sifrei Tanakh are the Chof Dalit Tachshitei Kala. For the Kala, the Tachshitin are not luxuries. They're absolute necessities. They're like you walking down the street without wearing a pair of pants. You're a Talmud Chacham. You want to be a Talmud Chacham. That means you're a Kala. And if you're a Kala, you come to your wedding dressed the way you're supposed to come. You come in a white gown. You come with a necklace and earrings. And you have your hair done. And you have this and you have that. All the Mishagasim, which it's hard for us to understand. But that's the way the world goes. They're necessities. For real. They really are necessities. The Chof Dalit Tachshitei Kala, it's very easy for us to make that mistake and think, oh, Tanakh is Chof Dalit Sifrei Tanakh, and it's compared to Tachshitei Kala, so I won't have a wedding in the plaza. I'll have a wedding in the backyard. No, that's not the way it works. The way it works is you really should have a wedding in the plaza. That's really where it should be. No, if you don't have it, so you don't have it. But you have to, it has to be choshev. And the basic tachshitin indeed are necessities. You have to know Tanakh, period. Whether you like it or not, you're not going to come to your wedding not in a white gown. You're not going to walk into the base medrash if you don't know Yeshaya, Baal Peh, inside out. Poshet. That is his hakdama to the study of Tanakh. Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful, beautiful approach. It changes everything. Take a maril to fataych the chavdalsim Tanakh, and it really resonated with me more so than ever when people told me this, is that the backyard weddings are not all ay. Everyone, oh, so romantic, so nice. You know, don't dismiss. Obviously, we have problems. We certainly do have problems. Things are way out of hand. But Hanach lechem li Yisraelim, Einam neviim, b'nei neviim, the maril, they are necessities for the Kala. Tanakh are necessities for Talmidei Chacham. Have a wonderful
I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something. When I have a granddaughter in Israel, my son, and at her bat mitzvah, she made a